We were so Chicago, man.
You guys are so big in the Midwest.
We're like Chicago's, what's the band from Canada?
Sum 41.
No.
Okay.
No, the good band from Canada.
You're listening to Pubcast Worldwide.
Greetings, thirsty listeners, and welcome to this episode of Pubcast Worldwide, the podcast where we get to know interesting people around the world, chatting with them over beers, cocktails, and other libations at the coolest pubs, bars, and breweries on the planet. I am your host, Chris Lukey, a shot taker, serial event planner, and an avid supporter of local music the world over. We've got a pretty cool episode for you today, and an even cooler guest as we travel to Chicago for the show for the first time ever. Stubby Pondove joins us for the show today. While he's best known for being the front man of Lucky Boys Confusion, he's been a songwriter and musician for a number of other rock and roll outfits throughout his 20-plus year music career. You might know Lucky Boys Confusion, or you might not, but regardless, here are a few things you can expect from today's episode. One, you are going to get to know Stubby. You're going to hear his story, or really a plethora of stories that span his musical career, from the days before Lucky Boys Confusion all the way to his latest project, The Hoodie Life. This is the first time we've had a musician on the show, and you'll actually see that it's definitely not all the glamour that you might expect. While we do have a ton of fun, we'll talk about his personal struggles, the lows, as well as the highs throughout the show. We also name drop some bands throughout the episode, and whether you know his bands or not is beside the point. His story is pretty rad, and even a casual music fan will probably dig this aspect of the episode. Second, in addition to being a musician, Stubby also knows his beers, and it was pretty cool to have him as our guide through Chicago's drinking scene in this episode. He even relates some of the beverages we have to his touring days, and we talk about the brews intermittently throughout the episode. I mean, we even get to drink some Three Floyds Gumball Head, like frickin' Gumball Head. That's just a badass hoppy wheat beer with some citrusy kick to it that I cannot get out here on the West Coast, and it's been a while since I've had that one. So yeah, we talk about beer and drinking in and around Chicago, so take note if you're planning to head there anytime soon. Finally, and even though this is a pubcast, this is pretty unique to this episode, we get pretty lit up. Let's be honest, when you've played in Lucky Boys Confusion for over 20 years like Stubby has, it takes a little bit of time and even more beer and whiskey to get through every piece of the story. I'm not going to tell you how much we had, but you'll definitely hear it for yourself towards the end of the episode. Honestly, I thought we held it together pretty well given how much we drank throughout our conversation. But regardless, I think you'll find it entertaining, and we may or may not even try to make a little music for you towards the latter half of the show. As far as the venue goes for this episode, we met up at Five Star Bar on Chicago Avenue. Now, Stubby's got some history with this bar, which he'll tell you about in a second, but personally, I loved the loungy rock and roll vibe, the pool table, you get the idea. Definitely somewhere I could see myself hanging out outside of the context of a pubcast. And as you can imagine, it had all the beer we could ask for and provided an exotic setting, we'll say, for our interview. Just a couple final notes of housekeeping before we get rolling. This episode does contain some strong language, so I probably wouldn't listen to this episode if you've got your kids around. Or if that's just not your thing, I'd probably just jump ahead to the next episode. On the other side of the coin, if you do stick with us to the end, I've got some bonus content for you on the back end of the show. All right, folks, let's rock. Grab a shot glass, grab your credit card, and heck, grab a copy of Lucky Boys Confusion's latest record, Storm Chasers, and let's head to Five Star Bar in Chicago, Illinois, to meet up with Stubby Pondove.
It's Saturday night and the party's calling. Did you hear the ringing? It's the bottle calling. Week after week, this is where I'm ending up.
Let's start this off properly.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers. We're at Five Star Bar. I've been coming here for at least 9 years, and one of their big things here is a shot of Old Crow. So, yeah, all right. There you go. That's a very Chicago thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So nice shot of Old Crow there, whiskey. We're drinking some Juicy Haze. It's a New Belgium beer. So New Belgium obviously got famous for Fat Tire. It was one of the first, outside of Sierra, Pale Ale, in Sierra Nevada, and I guess Sam Adams. It was one of the first breweries to really be distributing anything that wasn't a typical lager or pilsner style beers and getting a distribution deal.
Yeah.
So we had some local brews here and there, but not much as far as that. Europe was a little bit ahead of us on that. But New Belgium with Fat Tire got a little popular. So
yeah.
I used to come down to your hood in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And funny story is, boy, actually, I'm jumping around. I'm jumping ahead, but I might as well just tell
you. No, you're good. You're good. This is why it's a podcast. We can jump around.
Cool. Well, how it went down for me is I started playing Mississippi Nights down in St. Louis.
Hell yeah.
I got to know the bartenders real well, as I do everywhere I go. And St. Louis was as far as Colorado's reach was for New Belgium at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to get really excited when we were playing Mississippi Nights, and we played Mississippi Nights a lot.
You did.
A lot.
I was counting. You were the band that I saw there the most growing up before they shut that place down.
Nice.
Being a Chicago band, you would open for everyone, too.
Everybody.
Bowling for Soup, Motion City Soundtrack.
Everybody. I mean, Ludo.
Yeah,
we played the last Two Skinny J show.
Oh, no way.
We did a lot of stuff out there. Big Blue Monkey before they were Story of the Year. But the thing about that, New Belgium, it was like, okay, cool. I'm like, I like this. I don't know why, but I like it. I like it, and I look forward to it. It got to the point where Joe, a guitar player from LBC, Lucky Boys, one day we were on our way down in the van from Chicago. It was just a one-off. It wasn't part of a tour or anything.
Sure.
He goes, hey, Stu. He always called me Stu. He's like, hey, Stu. I'm like, what's up, bud? He's like, can you do me a favor? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, can you wait to drink your Fat Tire after the show? He's like, I don't think you knew where you were halfway through the set last time. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm sorry.
Which show is that? I'm wondering if I was at that one.
Oh, I don't know. He said I sang good, but I was Amy Winehousing it, I guess. Like,
okay.
Just like falling everywhere, but then when I started singing, I was singing good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of those situations. Anyway, this is a New Belgium beer. It's a Juicy Haze. If you haven't, whoever's watching and listening, this is kind of like a West Coast style IPA, meaning it's like a new trend right now, like a fruit-infused IPA, but it has kind of a Belgian-y feel to it because it has this fruit. So, anyway, Juicy Haze is a good beer. I'm not a huge fan of New Belgium stuff, but like this is really good.
Yeah, I've been a Juicy Haze guy, which is usually more East Coast in a lot of ways, but this one doesn't have quite the same bitter finish that a lot of those super juicy East Coast ones do.
Yeah, sure. The East Coast ones I feel like are a little bit more, they're tart for sure, but they have a little more of that kick at the end. And this could just be because New Belgium style is a little bit more mass appeal too, in general, you know what I mean? Whereas like we can get into some other breweries that I feel like
don't give a shit,
drink it or don't, fuck you. And it's like I kind of like that too though, but whatever.
Yeah, a good brew to start off with, and for the folks that are listening to the recording, I want to do a little intro for
you.
Oh,
sorry.
As well.
Yeah, I just start talking.
You're good. You seem to know what this show is all about. So
I do my homework, my man.
Yeah, no.
If I'm going to be part of something, I better be part of something.
I dig it. I've been doing my homework as well, so I think we're going to have a fun conversation today.
All right, man.
But for those of you on the podcast right now,
I'll be drunk halfway through. So
that's good. That's why the next half of the show is called the Tipsy Talk. So
nice,
it's like prepared for that already.
All right. All right, cool.
So, I'm with Stubby Pandov. Is that how you say it?
Pondov.
Like Pondov.
A pond and a dove.
Got it. Pondov.
But nobody says it right. So
I figured.
Right.
I did want to check,
if
though.
My name wouldn't be Stubby if people could say my fucking name right. So, I'm cool with Stubby Pondov.
Right.
A pond and a dove, man. Mix them up.
Perfect. And you have, I'm going to just say it, you got your fame through Lucky Boys Confusion. You've been a creative and a musician in a number of other bands, largely in the Chicago area, but that's just my introduction for you. How do you want to introduce yourself to the audience?
I would say that my introduction to most people is through my work with Lucky Boys Confusion. My other projects got fairly successful, I would say, on different levels. I felt like Super Epic Fun Club got really big in Europe, relatively speaking. But yeah, I've been in a lot of different groups, and the reason for that is I'm a songwriter. Lucky Boys Confusion, as eclectic as the band is stylistically, limited me to, especially as we got deeper into our history, we kind of cornered a sound that we liked. And anything outside of that sound, I mean, we can mess around a little bit, but I got a little bit cornered. And
sure.
So the first thing I did right after LBC kind of took a break from writing, I go, what is the furthest thing away from this that I can do?
Yeah.
And I was a little bit ahead of the curve there when I did Shockstars,
mm-hmm.
which was electronic rock. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, electronic rock ends up being this huge thing that we're like. But yeah. I was a little bit ahead of my
couple of years before Skrillex.
Yep. Yep. Then after that, I did Insecurities, which was more like a alt country, alt rock singer songwriter kind of thing. And that was probably my happiest time musically. I was writing in anything I wanted, and it was just awesome. And if anybody hasn't listened to it, it's probably my best lyrical work ever.
Okay.
Very proud work.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I did Super Happy Fun Club. Very similar to the sound of later LBC, but at a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm doing The Hoodie Life, which is, again, another extreme turn to the right or left or whatever,
yeah.
which is just completely singer-songwriter stuff, but except there's three of us.
Well, you had quite the breadth of groups that you've been with and quite the breadth of sound. One thing I do want to do, though, is kind of frame it up for folks that might not be familiar with you that are listening to this show. I'm mm-hmm. curious. Take us kind of back to the beginning of Lucky Boys Confusion or
sure.
your musical career before that, wherever the right starting point is.
Okay. Well, I was just a fucked up kid, you know, listening to music. I had a band in high school. It got more and more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like major. I went away to college. There was this other kid named Adam Cryer
mm-hmm.
that was doing a band in Naperville, which was a town over. So like just
mm-hmm.
instead of the names of the towns, it doesn't really matter. It's just the next town over. He was the big shot there, and I guess I was the big shot or one of the big shots in my town. But we were doing stuff that, you know, they hadn't seen happen before, and we were doing stuff that they hadn't seen happen before.
Mm-hmm.
My band broke up when I went to college. They sent me an email saying, "Hey, we're not interested in doing this anymore." I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. I called up Adam. I'm like, hey, man, do you want to do something together, man? I mean, you're a pretty good songwriter. I didn't realize how good of a songwriter he is mm-hmm. then, but, like, he's pretty freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, hey, you want to do this? He's like, yeah, man. And I guess the whole time he thought the same thing about me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the things that were missing about him, like, whatever he was missing from him, I kind of filled that void a little bit, at least at that age. So we got together. We drove around. I remember picking him up. I was with my buddy. Picked him mm-hmm. up. And in the back of my buddy's van, we ended up writing Back Then, which ended up being our first song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is kind of just history. We just kind of like kept on working. We had a, relatively speaking, meteoric rise in the suburbs where mm-hmm. we started. Our first show, we brought 300 people because it was like, holy shit, Stubby and Adam are doing something together?
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah, you built up a bit of a name for both of yourselves, and all of a sudden you're together.
Most of the time when bands break up, it's because two guys don't want to work together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's like, whoa, the heads of two bands want to combine their efforts?
Yeah.
And then
you're like a suburban supergroup.
That's what it felt like. And all of a sudden we put out this four-song tape, and man, things just went and went and went and went. And the next thing you know, we're like, headlining and selling out Metro. It was just insane.
How long did that take from like that show to selling out the Metro? Like, are we talking just like less than a year, a couple years?
No, it was like we started in May of 97. Late 98, we put out our full length. And in 99 or 2000 is when we started selling places out. It was crazy. It was insane. But like looking back at it, I don't remember a lot of. And not necessarily like I was in a drug haze or like a drinking haze. I just mean like when you're that young. I was so young then.
Yeah.
I wasn't like thinking about like, remember every one of these moments, you know? Like,
yep.
you don't think that this mm-hmm. is going to last forever. And I mean, that level has lasted forever for me, if not higher than that level. You know what I mean?
What was it like rising to fame at that age? And you kind of hinted at that. You weren't necessarily like cherishing all the memories or like thinking that this won't last forever. What was it like during that time? Like for someone that's not familiar with it? Because we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, artists, restaurateurs on this show. We don't necessarily get musicians all the time. So
yeah.
Maybe frame that up for our audience a bit.
I remember feeling a lot of guilt because as much as the punk rock community didn't really embrace me,
mm-hmm.
because I was very different. I came from a very punk rock mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of everybody just kind of like swarming to me
mm-hmm.
and like all of a sudden I'm cool when I was like the biggest nerd in towards the end of high school, people started liking me and like whatever. Mm-hmm. But like I just grew up really pretty close to friendless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. So I was making a fair dollar. I think I was spending a fair dollar because I felt like I just was didn't deserve. It was hard. How about that? Like, I didn't expect all of this to be thrown at me. And the difference between, I guess, the entrepreneurs and whatnot is that, like, getting recognized everywhere you went in the city. Everywhere I went in the city between 2000 and 2006, there'd be somebody that recognized me no matter where I was.
So, I mean, you were kind of a local celebrity then, for all practical purposes.
I would say that's fair.
But I hate to cut you off, but it looks like we're kind of running out of our round one beers already, so we should probably restock because we got a little bit more of what would typically be round one but is going to be our round two. What do you think?
Well, I think you read my mind.
Yeah.
So, let's do that. Let's do that. Because, I mean, there's no point in doing this pubcast.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're not drinking some beers, right?
I hear you. All right. Bottoms
cool.
up.
Bottoms up.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Five star.
So.
Even better than the first time.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been coming here for over 10 years. I used to live down the street. This is a good brewery with a good bar with a bunch of good brews from a bunch of different breweries. They pride themselves on having good brews here, and it's been a little home away from home for me because I live down the street, so I just figured why not do it here. There's a ton of different places in Chicago if you're ever visiting that have great breweries. You, of course, we're drinking Gumballhead, aren't we?
We are drinking Gumballhead. Yeah, so that's the round two beer.
Revolution, which has a brewery here along with a restaurant / brew pub. That's a good place as well. I would have suggested going there as well, but I mean, like,
it's crazy busy there.
On a Friday?
Are you kidding me? It's a great spot.
It's amazing. Lagunitas has built their home away from home here.
Well aware.
Yep.
Their home is not too far from where I live, just 45 minutes up,
right.
101.
The guy that actually started Lagunitas, I'm sure you know about this, is actually from Chicago. One of the guys that started Lagunitas is from Chicago, so they decided to build this out here. Lagunitas is pretty cool. If you're going to go get food and beer, I prefer Revolution better than Lagunitas as far as choices are concerned. Lagunitas is connected to the brewery itself, so it's not. It doesn't have its own independent kind of thing going on. They got some okay food, you know.
You've got to make it out to California sometime. Their facility out there in Petaluma is top notch. Big beer garden. It's always California weather up there. It's a good spot and a great brewery tour too. Very hands on, and by that I mean you can pull beer off the line, which is pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well. If my wife ever dumps me, I'll move to California. I'll live in your basement.
All right. That sounds good. I don't have a basement, but, you know, we were talking about fame before we took a break, I believe.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I took in with fame in the song One to the Right, and for those guys that aren't familiar with me, One to the Right is like who I was growing up. If there's any song that explains who I am and whatever it is, I spent so much of my youth in burned away so much of my youth trying to be popular, trying to be liked, and just got shit on and shit on and shit on and shit on. And it's funny because some of my peers from around that age will reach out to me now and want to hang out. And I'm like,
what's that feel like?
They don't know. They don't remember it that way.
Yeah.
They're like, man, you were just one of the guys. I'm like, one of the guys that you beat up all the time? Like, and the girls were worse than the guys. What happened for me as I got older, you know, I was voted biggest nerd in school, like in junior high, and like high school came around, got contact lenses, and I grew about six or seven inches over a summer. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating that, but that's what it felt like. I just got tall and attractive, I guess, you know, to the popular medium, I guess, whatever that was.
You know what I mean? You grew out of that awkward
because attractive is such a stupid term. But like, I got more attractive to the normal medium. Girls started liking me, and when girls started liking me, it took until junior year, so two more years of that shit. I got a feeling of what it felt like to not be hated, whatever. And I remember talking to Adam and Ryan. Ryan is our drummer, and I remember talking to them. It's like, it's so fucked up to look out into our crowd and see the faces of the people that made our lives hell growing up. Now, we're not seeing the exact faces.
Sure. That is wild to think about.
I have no idea why we attract the fan base that we do, but the fan base that we attract, some of the fan base that we attract, are
very similar to the people that would have made that would have picked on us.
Do you think that's common throughout a lot of music? I don't want to say the
why
genre.
Why do you think Kurt Cobain hated everybody?
Yeah.
Like, I always say this. I'm like, I'm glad I never met Kurt Cobain. I'm glad he's dead. But I'm glad I never met him because he hated me. Whereas John Lennon was a cool kid.
Yeah.
John Lennon was a cool kid. But Kurt Cobain was a dork.
Yeah.
I was more like Kurt than I was like John. I was in between those two motherfuckers, man. Like, I think those two guys, mix them together and you got the perfect musician, man. Whereas, like, how to deal with people. But anyway, you know, the attention was great. It's all I ever wanted in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote that line in one of the right before I played a show for more than 300 people before. I spent all my time on popularity and I accept my duality. Because I wanted to be loved by the people that I ended up hating so much. So fame was that. Fame was at a hard time being like, hey, you're invited to this new premiere event in Chicago to do this. And I'm like, fuck you. You would have never invited me if my song wasn't a number one song in Q101 right now.
Was there a part of you that wanted to go to those type of things? Or were you like, no, I'm happy with what I'm doing and I don't need that?
Well, I guess my biggest thing was like, if I knew how rejected I was going to be by the punk rock community, I would have just gone in the first place.
Yeah,
it's like I was just trying to be like, no, man, I'm about me and my music being like part of this culture of being real and true and true in the music. If I could look back at it and if everybody in the scene was going to look at me as like a pop writer, I might as well just have taken advantage of everything that was coming my way.
Sure.
Which I didn't. And I should have. Huh. I really should have. Because, no offense, but like, I don't know much about Rise Against.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking any kind of shit about him. Any of these supposed punk bands. But the shit I've been through in my life, I'm more punk rock in my pinky.
Yeah.
Than half those motherfuckers have in their whole lives. Having a mohawk and having the right clothes and whatever. Punk is being like, fuck the system.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about anybody that was more fuck the system than me, good luck.
Yeah.
Because I'm a first generation American. So if it wasn't hard enough for your parents to understand that you wanted to go into rock and roll.
Yeah.
I got a generation gap and a culture gap.
Holy shit. That has to be tough.
It was so hard.
Yeah.
And I just said, fuck it, because I knew I had something to say.
Where were your... You're Indian, correct?
Indian, yeah.
Yeah. So your parents came over from India, and then...
After the Civil Rights Movement was passed, my dad was one of the first people to be granted a scholarship over here.
That's awesome.
My dad's a fucking... Or was. He passed away last year. But, like, he was just a brilliant, brilliant man. Yeah, I mean, I put my parents through hell because I just knew I was meant for something different. And that I wasn't going to conform to the normal lifestyle, which I feel is what punk is about. Punk rock, I don't fucking know, nor do I care. Like, dude, have a safety pin through your ear. Have whatever, but stop telling me that because I write catchy melodies that I'm not punk rock. It's like, or I rap, I'm not tough. Or like, you know, like whatever. Or like I'm doing white boy music that's like rap. You know, I'm like, man, you don't know anything about me. Like, I've been through so much shit. Once I realized that, like, the punk rock community was such a sham, I was so turned off by them.
Sure.
I was so turned off.
It always feels like Lucky Boys Confusion, just to go back to your main band, kind of always did your own thing. Like, you weren't really concerned with what else was going on. You were just writing great music and doing what you guys wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on one more struggle, and then we're going to bring it back to the happy stuff.
Sure.
Because we talked about your brush with fame. But, you know, eventually you got dropped by your record label after Commitment, Elektra. And you guys have continued to make great music for over 10 years after that. But how did you persevere through that? It sounds like you had a lot of experience persevering through a lot of things before that, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, we put out a couple of different B-sides records. We just kept going, did it, broke up on the side of the road. Didn't really break up, but just said, like, hey, I'm done. Met up again later. I just said, hey, I'm not going to write any more songs for this band. I just don't see any point. I could write the biggest hit in the world, and nobody's going to give it any attention as long as it's attached to the words Lucky Boys Confusion. And that's the honest truth. And then, you know, I think Adam said this, but we all agreed. Maybe I said it. I don't remember. You know, you're not sitting there documenting your conversation, but one of us said, well, it's better to burn out than to fade away. I remember being like, either it was me or Adam or Ryan or whatever, or Jason or Joe, whoever it was, goes, well, let's just fade away if we need to, and we'll stop playing when they stop coming.
Okay. All right.
And they just haven't stopped coming.
I was going to say, you just had a successful 20th anniversary show at Joe's.
But there was a big thing that happened between that and that.
Like in 10 years, too.
Yeah, it was 10 years, and Joe died.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would have written that record a lot sooner if Joe wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, it changed everything. It was like, okay, well, we're going to just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And him dying actually made me write a bunch more tunes. They're not about him or anything like that, but like it sparked a lot of songs. And then Storm Chasers came. He died in 2012. I didn't start working on that record until 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard after that, after we were dropped. And it just sucks because you see so many bands that are so mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are just doing really well. And then you look at our career and you just go, okay.
I'm going to ask you about your thoughts on current music later on. I'm going to bring us back up here for a second because I want to talk about what's going on now with Lucky Boys Confusion because you just, you know, we talked about your break after 2010 when you were doing things kind of on your own, exploring some things creatively at that time.
Sure.
But you guys just came out with your first record in 8-9 years. How long was it? What was the time?
A decade.
Difference? A decade?
Yeah, it was a decade.
Yeah.
So this is really honest. It was a decade.
First new record in a decade. And I'm curious, why was now the right time for Storm Chasers? And what did you want to accomplish with that album?
It wasn't as planned out as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a text message back and forth with me and Adam in 2010. Adam and I are pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wouldn't call us friends, but we're...
That's interesting.
We're definitely brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
No, I understand that more now.
Yeah. I mean, we care about each other, but like, I haven't had a text message from him in 12 years or so where he's like, hey, man, you want to hang out? Actually, let's just say 20 years. Once in a while, I send him a text message. I'm like, I sent him a weird one day. I was drunk coming home from the bar and just go, man, I love what I'm doing right now. But shit was so much easier when it was me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fastest response that I've ever gotten from him ever.
Yeah.
And he goes, I say that shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. Adam and Stubby together are way better than Adam and Stubby without each other. We just compliment each other. So I wrote him, I'm like, hey, man, I got some songs. And he's like, whatever. And then, like I said, Joe died.
Mm-hmm.
I just put all my shit on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go, it's just in bad taste now. I mean, like, it didn't seem like the right time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
2014 rolls around. I'm in a better place in my life. And I just reach out to him, like, hey, want to do this? Want to just see what happens when we get together? If that magic's still there, if it's not? And he's like, yeah, man, come over. I'm like, I got to come to you in Naperville? All right, cool. So he's like, yeah, bring some ideas. So I drove out there in 2 hours. I played him 38 different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote 2 ideas in 2 hours, and it was like so good. And I'm like, want to show these to the guys? He's like, yeah, let's do one. So I showed them to the guys. And I didn't know what they would think, and I was really, really scared. I thought maybe Jason and Ryan would be like, fuck this, I don't want to do this without Joe, fuck this. They were all like, this is awesome. Anything more? And we're like, there's so much more.
Yeah.
And then we ended up writing the rest of the record. It took 2 years to write, but you know, I mean, it was what it was. You know?
It's a great record.
Thanks, man. It's my favorite. It's not even comparable. It's my favorite LBC record.
Lyrically, you cover a number of topics. I mean, you guys started kind of like talking about beer and partying in your songs, and you've gone far beyond that with Storm Chasers.
I think Storm Chasers is the most autobiographical.
Yeah.
Out of all the records that we've done. I do touch into my like Mr. Wilmington-ish kind of stuff with Burn a Little Brighter. That's probably the only song on the whole record that's like Wilmington-y, you know. I don't know what else to call it, like you know, like where I tell a story about something that didn't really happen. I like that, and people are like, well, why do you do that? I'm like, well, because fiction is beautiful.
Yeah,
because fiction is just a play on reality.
And
they're like, well, why do you do that? I'm like, well, what's Mr. Wilmington about? I'm like, well, I think it's kind of about my dad. I think it's kind of about me. I think it's kind of, what's Burn a Little Brighter about? Well, it's kind of about me.
Yeah.
It's kind of about my brother. It's kind of about my, you know what I mean? It's like, I like those kind of tunes, but like outside of that one tune, everything is about, mm-hmm. I mean, everything's autobiographical. So
yeah,
I hit on some pretty relevant and deep subjects.
Uh-huh.
Know, for sure.
Was there anything you wanted your fans to get out of that record?
I hope they like it. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't give a flying fuck. Like if my fans liked it or didn't like it, they're not my fans anymore then, right? Or
sure.
they're my fans on my old stuff or whatever. I do want everybody to like that. But I wrote some really good stuff. If you're upset that I'm not rapping, I put my time and effort into this. The way that record starts off, if that doesn't take you in to at least go like, what the fuck? Like, you know, Born Like Jesus on the back of a truck.
Yeah.
I won't go to heaven because I won't give a fuck.
It's an intriguing line to kick the record off with. It's not like it's one of those rock songs that comes in with, like, a massive riff or anything. Like, it's very lyrically driven from the get-go.
We weren't trying to come in like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, hey, we've been gone for a little bit. We've been fucked up for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a straightforward kind of lyricist, but, like, mm-hmm. if that doesn't tell you exactly what I've been going through for the last decade,
yeah.
If you're not getting something out of a line like "Born Like Jesus on the back of a truck," "I won't go to heaven because I won't give a fuck,"
then
just stop listening and just move on to Foo Fighters. All right, like it's fine, but I do think I made a really great piece of art with Storm Chasers and the most together piece of art I've ever made since grown out of it.
My last question before we get into the tipsy talk and take a quick break, grab our last round of beers is...
And a shot.
Of course. No, I know how this is rolling at this point. You guys did just celebrate your 20th anniversary. I mentioned it earlier. And you've done a number of other projects before. What drives you to keep doing Lucky Boys Confusion?
Jason, Ryan, and Adam.
Yeah? Your three bandmates.
I love those guys. Like I said, we're not as close as we used to be, but... The reason why I want to do it is because we're good at what we do together.
Yeah.
There's something about LBC. I said something about, like, you know, me and Adam, but there's something about, like, Ryan and Jay, the rhythm session, or Adam and Jason and whatever, or me and Ryan. Like, when we talk, me and Ryan talk. I've been in a band with Ryan before Lucky Boys Confusion for 3 years before that. So, I mean, like, what makes us keep it together, besides the success that we've had together, the other part of it is just that we like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we don't like each other. We love each other. No, we like each other, though. We do. Yeah. We do like each other. Everybody's moved on. Everybody's grown up. And honestly, it's not like anything's driving us. We needed to do something.
Yeah.
We needed one last, like, we didn't get to say, like, closing arguments. I know it was called closing arguments.
Yep.
Because we were so bitter at everything that happened, but... Really? Yeah. We wanted to end our legacy on closing arguments?
Yeah.
There's some good stuff on that record. If people could just get past how demo quality those are, but, man, it's no Storm Chasers. We needed to do one last record, you know?
So is this the one last record then, you think?
I don't want to do another one.
All right, that's fair.
I said that last time, too, though.
All right. Well, I like that element of unpredictability to end this round on, because our beers are also at an end, too. We literally
have
nothing left to drink in front of us. So we're going to be back for round three here in just a second. Stick with us.
All right. Now standing here with 50 of my friends in a keg of Killians. You're at home with your
Randy DeFranco tips again. So, round three, what are we drinking?
We are drinking.
Do you want to talk about the shot again first, or do you want to talk the beer?
Let's drink the shot first. Mm. We don't have to talk about the shot.
Yeah, they know what it is. Old Crow, round three.
Old Crow again, round three. Shit.
Cheers.
Three shots in within 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do.
Not to mention, we've got a double IPA sitting in front of us this time, too. So that's not going to be...
We do.
There's a lot going on.
This is a Spiteful double IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Spiteful is another Chicago company that putting out stuff.
Woo! That's good.
It's a good IPA.
I think I'm saying that because I'm also still digesting the shot.
Yeah, the shot's hard, man.
Yeah.
Old Crow is not meant to be like easily digestible. You know what I mean? It's a rough around the edges shot. So
yeah.
I'm going to feel this in the morning shot, so that's why it's so cheap.
I imagine I have a long night ahead of me, too. I might be out to 4 a.m. bars and just, like, heading to the airport before I go to bed and just sleeping on the 4 hours back to San Francisco. So Who knows what my night's going to look like right now.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll give you my number before we go because maybe I'll wake up and be like, hey, I need to get out and party.
Yeah, you may be able to get like a full night's sleep and then like hit the bar at 2 a.m. and still be able to rally. That would be pretty rad.
But anyway, Spiteful, Chicago has a lot of great independent breweries that are growing bigger and bigger, especially since after the Revolution thing.
Was Revolution really what started it? It's ironic that that's the name of the brewery that kind of seemed to kickstart things.
I would say there's been a bunch. There's been Finch. There's whatever. But Revolution was probably the most successful.
Yeah.
Because they had the greatest product.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Hero is an amazing beer.
Mm-hmm.
As much as people... I hear sometimes people go, oh, man, I'm so sick of Anti-Hero. Really? Really? Like, before that, we didn't have shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, like, it's a great beer that's relatively fair price. I think it's overpriced still. But yeah, anyway, I don't think that's where we're going anywhere.
Yeah, I was round three tonight, plus three bonus shots. This is the tipsy talk where we always kick things off with a good drinking story, and I'm gonna cue you up for that. And I'm sure you have more than enough, but I want to hear one maybe from your touring days because I've got to think that's when things were the most wild.
When I think about crazy days, oh geez, Real Big Fish.
Did they drink a lot?
Zebrahead. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's when I started getting into whiskey.
Okay.
Allie from Zebrahead, which I always said, I'm like, Ollie? And he's like, no, it's Allie. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, man, if it's your name, you can call it whatever
you
want.
Yeah, you can
do
whatever you want.
But I'm pretty ethnic, and it's not Allie. Whatever. I mean, like, I love him, man. He took me under his wing. He was very kind. He introduced me to whiskey. I didn't like whiskey. Mm-hmm. Whiskey always made me angry, and then I realized I'm always angry. Just kidding. But I am. But yeah, I don't know. Ask me another question.
Well, we were looking for a story. So he introduced you to whiskey, and you were always angry.
I don't have a lot of good like drinking stories. Like,
really?
Not really.
That's okay. No, like, I'm good with that.
I usually am the guy that like. Either I'm talking to walls, or I'm like I get really fucked up and I talk to walls. But I don't, or I usually am not. I'm not the kind of guy that like is running around drunk and naked.
I didn't need you to run around drunk and naked. If one of your friends did that, like that would be you can throw anyone.
Is
under
that
the
what
bus.
We're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh
like,
man,
any good drinking story. You just got to preface it with like, hey Adam, I'm sorry I'm telling this story, but.
Oh, man.
I just opened up Pandora's box, didn't I?
Oh, man. Still, man, LBC is pretty tame. I mean, there's a lot of – I'm trying to think about, like, a good drinking story.
I want to be clear. I quoted you earlier on Instagram when I said, you know, until my interview, I'm going to be hanging out with 50 friends and a keg of Killian. So I just assumed you guys were wild. Which
we were fucking wild.
Well, yeah, for anyone that doesn't know Lucky Boys Confusion, that is like pulled directly from one of their songs. So
we were pretty wild. I'm trying to think of like something that like – see, it was all just –
It can be about anyone around you, someone in your band, Adam, Jason, you know.
All right.
Who do you need to throw under the bus tonight?
So, well, there's nobody I want to throw under the bus because I'm not going to say any names. But our merch guys have brought the best stories of all time. Okay. So it'll be pretty obvious to the person, if he's listening, who I'm talking about. But we were supposed to have a guy from St. Louis that's a pretty big promoter there now be our merch guy. Mm-hmm. And last minute, he has a medical condition, and he bails. So I met this guy at a bar in Donner's Grove. Everybody knew that we used to hang out there, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, our merch guy bailed, and I was talking to my friend, and the guy that was standing next to him, he's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I was kidding, and I go, all right. And we exchanged numbers, and all of a sudden, he's in the van a couple of days later. So
that's pretty good.
All of a sudden.
Kudos to him. For
yeah, right?
Like,
I mean, like, but he's just like, fuck my life. My parents hate me, whatever. And, like, I heard all about it later. And I love him. I love the motherfucker. He's doing great now, but, like, you know, whatever. So we end up in Florida or somewhere on the coast. I don't know. Somewhere by an ocean. I don't fucking care. I can't remember exactly.
Sounds like Florida to me.
But, like, I'm single. I think everybody else in the band's single too. Maybe Jason wasn't, whatever. I don't know. So we go on the road, and I don't know why.
I could just be making this shit up. It could have just been upset that, like, you know, all the girls were gravitating toward the guys in the band. And mm-hmm. he walked out, like, in the hotel room. Like, we were all in the hotel room already. Okay. But all the girls were talking to the guys in the band. But we were close to the ocean because we were in fucking Florida. So he goes and walks out towards the ocean. And he's standing on a rock in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I guess a wave comes up. And moron has his backpack on. He bought a brand new laptop.
Ooh.
He brought a brand new laptop for the tour so he could keep all his merch shit together. Bam. Day two in, destroyed by the ocean.
That's
so I don't have a crazy story like I don't have I don't have any crazy stories.
No, that's solid. That's solid. I don't know how I'm going to segue between this and talking about drinking in Chicago next, but I mean, I was going to ask you what Chicago meant to Lucky Boy's Confusion, but we can just talk about drinking in Chicago first, too, if we wanted to just jump to that.
Chicago meant to Lucky Boy's Confusion. Chicago ruined Lucky Boy's Confusion.
Really?
Well, I mean, come on, let's be really
honest. I feel
like
people loved you here.
Well, no, that's my point.
Yeah.
But we were so Chicago.
Yeah.
I think it hurt us so bad, but it's fine.
I might agree with that a little bit. Like,
we were so Chicago, man.
You guys are so big in the Midwest.
We're like Chicago's, what's the band from Canada?
Sum 41.
No.
Okay.
No, the good band from Canada. no, I like Sum 41. They're pretty okay.
I was going to say, like, we could name a couple. Avril Lavigne. I don't think that's who we're talking about.
Hold on, stop. No. A good band. I'm sorry. Again.
I like how we're figuring out what our differences in music taste are as we're going along.
No, I mean, I'm talking about not pop punk. No, iconic Canadian band. Come on, man. The lead singer just quit because he's dying.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about, man.
No, I don't, actually.
Really?
It's definitely not Nickelback. They're from Canada, too.
No, man. Come on. This band is like...
Yeah, look it
this
up.
Is, this
look
is
up.
Really annoying
yeah, this,
me because
is,
the thing
this,
is...
This is a worthwhile phone moment.
We've literally had six drinks in under 2 hours.
Yeah.
So if I don't remember...
I feel great,
talking
by the way.
Not talking heads.
definitely
tripping,
not talking
tripping,
heads.
Tragically Hip.
Tragically Hip?
Never heard of Tragically Hip?
I'm not going to lie to you at this point. No, I haven't heard of Tragically
Hip. All
right,
Tragically Hip is one of the most influential Canadian bands ever. Like Rush broke into America, but Tragically Hip is amazing pop rock music. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, I don't know what this had to do with anything else. But
no, this was good. This is what the tipsy talk is all about.
Oh, okay,
this is the most tipsy talk the tipsy talk has ever been, to be totally clear. Like, most people are like, yeah, I'm just going to drink a beer. Like, maybe round two, I'll be feeling a little buzz. But
what's the fucking point of a fucking pubcast? It's called a motherfucking pubcast.
So that stuff like this can happen. So people are like, hey, remember that episode with Stewie? That was pretty badass. Not everyone goes as far as Stewie does. Cheers to that.
Yeah, fucking.
I'm glad I just didn't spit a bunch of beer into my microphone, because that's what was about to happen. Man, do we want to talk about Chicago music? Who do you love in the scene? Who are you like, I'm glad these guys were with me as we were coming up?
Coming up?
Yeah, or let me flip it around a bit.
Okay.
What bands maybe inspired Lucky Boy's Confusion, or what have been some of your musical influences?
They're all dead.
Really?
Yeah. Beatles?
Name a couple. Yeah, Beatles, great.
Sublime, Bob Marley, Nirvana.
You know, knowing your music, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah.
I hear that reggae element in your
yeah.
style.
Well, it's not even the reggae element, man. It's like... Okay, so you got that melody, right?
Yep, I'm hearing it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Like,
yep.
It feels nice. It feels like a nice melody, right? Something I just made off at the top of my head, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do this with me.
All right.
We gotta listen, man. It's a four piece.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- That's awful. But that's the idea.
I mean,
like,
maybe if we did it when we were one beer in, that would have been a lot better. I was trying, though.
I got you. Either way, I like softer music that gives a harder point.
Okay. Your last record kind of gives that vibe, too. I don't think I'm making that up, either. You can tell me I'm wrong.
No, I don't know about that, man. I think you're pretty right on.
All right, okay.
I mean, I don't know, man. I was talking about my life at that point. People are like, well, what were you thinking about when you're writing Storm Chasers? I go, it was a 7-year process. I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Yeah.
I wrote, here, you want to be an exclusive?
Sure.
I'll give you a goddamn exclusive.
This is a great podcast moment right
I'll
here.
I'll give you a fucking goddamn exclusive, all right, man? I have to find it, though, man. All right. You want to put a mic to it or, like, put your...
Yeah. Let me...
Edit it later.
You want me to put mine up to it?
All right. So, this is the first idea. May 3rd of 2013. Let's see. And then, a few minutes later, I just did this. It's at midnight, but I'm jumping, gonna be the best time, but you don't come around. I mean, like, I had no idea, like, what I was doing.
I really wanted to bob my head there a little bit, but I'm like, fuck, Stubby's recording into my microphone right now. I cannot do that at the moment. That was good.
I mean, that was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like just writing. And like sometimes I'm going to keep this one. Like I want this to be like when I was writing for the other records.
I can't get the It's After Midnight line out of my head, too. You should just call the song that. That's what like sticks out.
That's what it's called.
It's called that?
It's After Midnight.
It's an exclusive, right? It's a podcast exclusive.
No, what I was trying to show you is how I wrote it.
Which album is it on?
It's on Storm Chasers.
It's on Storm Chasers?
It's a singles.
I feel guilty now because I just listened to that whole album all the way through again yesterday.
Yeah, it's a single.
I feel like a dick.
It's all right. But what I was
It is round six, basically.
Yeah, it is. But what I was trying to show you is like how I wrote it.
That's pretty cool.
Man, that was like, Jesus Christ, that was almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I feel like we should get into like the rapid fire questions because I feel like that's kind of where our heads are at right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've toured around the country quite a bit, like back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
What place that you've been can drink anyone else under the table? What city just had a party vibe to it?
Philadelphia.
Philly? How so?
They don't care what they're drinking. They just will drink anything. If you give them a glass of formaldehyde, I don't care. They're ready to party. They get done with work.
Super Bowl kind of showed that recently, too. Yeah, they're wild out there.
Yeah, they just want to drink.
What's your favorite venue that you played in?
Sorry, Chicago. Still to this day, House of Blues.
House of Blues? House of Blues is a great spot. Yeah. I think the Chicago venue is the best House of Blues as well, too.
It is by far the best House of Blues in the country.
Fortunately, I had a backup question to that, too. What's your favorite venue outside of Chicago?
Mississippi Nights.
Oh, I love that answer. Mm. I think I told you my biases earlier, but
I hate their fucking backstage. That was fucking a piece of shit.
Well, lucky you, it's not there anymore, but
well,
it's a travesty.
I couldn't stand how crappy their backstage was, but like whatever.
I don't doubt it, but they had great wooden walls. It always sounded great there, and you could cram 1,000 people in. If you could grab a drink with anyone, who would it be and why?
I'd love to talk to a Supreme Court justice and just be like, what's up? You and 7 other people are the most powerful people in the whole country, in one case, the world. The sun is setting on the American Empire, for sure. But, like, right now, you are. Can I know, is all the bullshit real? Are the conspiracy theories real? Like, people, like, saying, like, no matter what happens, there's a conspiracy theory for everything. That's it. I would want to talk to the Chief Justices.
What's the most regrettable band name you've ever had?
Lucky Boys Confusion.
Really? That's the one?
Yeah, for sure. Shockstars is kind of cool if it wasn't, like, attached. Insecurities is amazing. It was already taken by a Colorado ska band that, wow, they're awful. Oh, yeah, actually, Super Heavy Front Club.
Super Happy Fun Club.
Yeah, that wasn't my.
You guys have some great songs though. Like,
oh, the songs are good, but yeah. You're talking about the band name, right?
I know. Yeah. That's all I'm talking about right now. What are you really good at after you've had a drink or two?
To be really honest, the thing that I'm good at when I've not had a drink or two, and I'm good at after I had a drink or two. How about that?
Go for it. Yeah, I'm glad you reframed that.
Writing songs.
Mmm. Very on brand. Well done. What band that you played with or have toured with can party the hardest?
Well, ska bands have so many alternating members. I would have to say hardest partying band that actually going to keep it together is got to be Bowling for Soup.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Those guys party hard.
They don't even do shots, and they just fucking hit that shit. Zebrahead is close, but like it's no, Bowling for Soup.
And we've talked a little bit about music during this podcast, but what band are you digging the most these days, or what genre maybe?
What's Margo and you? The Nuclear So-and-Sos.
Ooh, really? That's not a genre I expected you to jump into.
I'll tell you my other ones. Acreville River, Ryan Adams. Yeah, I don't listen to what you think I'd expect. Somebody played me something from Real Friends or something like that.
Yeah, they're a Chicago band for sure.
I mean, good for them. I'm really happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not what you'd listen to in your spare time.
Yeah, no.
That's fine.
But yeah. It doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah.
But I just don't listen to that kind of music.
All right.
I never did.
Yeah.
And it's not,
I've gotten that impression from
that. I never listened to that kind of music. Just because I'm good at writing those kind of songs doesn't mean whatever. And yeah.
So this is it, Stubby. We're closing out at this point. What's next for you, Lucky Boys Confusion? And since you've mentioned it a couple times, the hoodie life.
Well, the thing about hoodie life is I don't care. I'm just going to make music. I have a lot of good ideas and melodies and thoughts. I think I got a lot off my chest that I need to get off before I died. Like, I think I would have died incomplete if I didn't get Storm Chasers done. Am I done with LBC? No, I'm not. But right now, I'm focused on some storytelling kind of songs.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them is going to be a storyteller.
Sure.
Every single...
You've done great with that in the past. Like, just stick with it.
I'm a writer.
Yeah.
And I want to write fiction stories. And I want to write about characters. I want to write about characters that people start believing in. That's what I want to do. Hoodie Life is my conduit to write stories instead of writing short stories.
Yeah.
I'm writing short songs.
All right.
So that's what I'm doing.
Well, keep it up. Like, one thing I feel, it's like there are a lot of people out there that are like, you know what? If you're past your point in fame, like, just fuck it. Just, like, go live a regular life. But
what
I love about you guys and Lucky Boys Confusion is, like, you're like, no, we're just going to keep doing it. There's no reason to stop.
If you don't like it, don't come to the shows.
Cool. Yeah.
We're just waiting for that, and then we'll stop.
Yeah. And your shows are still selling out, too. So it's not like you're, like, hurting for people to come.
No. We sold over 300 tickets in the first 2 days for our Metro show. So, I mean, obviously, we were doing something right.
Yeah, that show's going to sell out. I know it is, because by the time I release this episode, it's probably going to be sold out.
Hopefully.
So... Let's bring it back to the bars in Chicago for a second. We're hanging out on Chicago Avenue right now. If other people are hanging out on Chicago Avenue, where should they bounce to after Five Star?
Well, it depends what you want. So here's what I like. There's a beauty to Lush, which is just to the east of this place. And the greatest, it's a great date night. Like, if you want a cheap date night, they let you buy the bottle right there.
Ooh,
they bring the bottle out. So, like, you can buy a bottle for 10 to... $17, or you can get one of the ones off the wall that are like way crazy, $40. Sit down, they'll bring you some chickpeas and whatever, like cartouche, whatever.
I know, cheese and whatever the fuck it is.
Like, they can do that, but like, if you just want to have $16 bottle of wine or whatever, and just have two glasses each, that's a perfect place. But if you want to get deeper into it, I like Blind Robin.
Okay,
that's just gone through a major upheaval. That's on Western.
What's Blind Robin like?
Blind Robin is same kind of situation. No food, just new brews. Revolution likes them a lot, so they get a lot of the newer brews there before everybody else gets them. So that's a good place. Split Rail is a new, brand new place.
Okay. You said Split Rail?
Split Rail.
Okay.
And that is definitely date night. You're going to get some really good brews there because they have connections with a lot of the local breweries. But... be ready to spend money for the beer and be ready to spend money for the food. You know, I mean, like, it's not crazy expensive. It's not like
it's good to know what you're getting into. Yeah. It's not like you're going to a dive bar or anything. Right. Like you're going somewhere that's a little nicer than that.
Beetle, right around that same area.
Okay.
Has decent beers for the same price. But if you really want to get into good beers in this city, you got to move around.
Okay.
You got to move around. The best place in the city for beer, by far, is Hop Leaf.
And Hop Leaf?
It's in Andersonville.
Okay.
They don't have TVs. You go there, you eat food, you drink beer. You don't watch sports.
Yep.
And it's Andersonville is way north.
Yeah.
Like
I told him to turn off the TVs when we came in here earlier. It's like, we're just going to hang out. We're going to talk about beer and music and all the good stuff.
But, yeah, this place is probably one of the best places in the whole city to get beer. But, yeah, again, it falls under that same category, man. Don't go in there, like, expecting, like, to watch the Jets game or the Bears game. You know, like, they don't fucking care about your fucking needs.
Yeah.
What they care about is, do you like beer and do you like food?
Yeah.
You like beer and food? Come here. Yep. Don't come here when you're looking to... No TVs.
So yeah.
Hop Leaf is the best bar in the city if you're willing to like. But if you're looking to like watch a Bears game or the Super Bowl, good luck.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to avoid that.
Yeah,
great.
If you're trying to get. Yeah, no, that's. Yeah. I mean, there. It's no challenge to find a sports bar to watch the Cubs, the Bears, Bulls, whatever. It's.
You want to get away from it?
Yeah.
A Super Bowl Sunday?
Love that.
There you go.
Love that. Awesome. Hop Leaf. Well, we're about to wrap things up here. Stewie, what's the best way to connect with you and your bands, your projects, whatever you want to call them?
The easiest thing about having such a unique name is I'm at Stewie for everything.
Yeah.
So at Stewby.
Yes.
So there's a Sierra, Tango, Unity, Bravo, Hotel, Yankee. So...
By the way, I'm going to have links to all these in my show notes. So for people that are really interested, they're going to like go there, click on it, and get right there, too. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty simple, man. If you reach out to me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or Instagram, it might take a little bit, but I will get to you. I promise.
I'm going to attest to that. He does get to you. Like, that's why this interview is happening right now. Like, we communicated. We
It took a little bit. Sorry.
You know what? It always does. Like, because I don't live here. Like, I live in California. So it's like, when I'm out here, it's like, that's how it works. But this has been a blast. Like,
awesome.
So if you're listening, Stewby will get back to you in some way,
shape,
or form. You know, I'm going to end this with, I have a lot of respect for what you've done over the past 20 years.
Thanks,
I was a fan in high school, and I know a lot of people stop at that, but I'm like, I've been a fan now just because I love seeing how people evolve creatively.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing how people stick with it and don't give a fuck when people are like, oh, well, you're not huge anymore. You should just quit.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, you guys are still huge in a lot of ways, and that's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it. No, I have a ton of respect for what you do. Like,
thanks,
I think...
Man.
Anyone that's a creative, a musician, whatever it is, should continue to persevere.
It's not about what anybody else thinks on that same moment, and I'm just adding on to yours.
Keep it rolling.
People ask me, why do you keep doing it, man? You know, your crowds get smaller, people get older, and I go, I don't do it because I want to. I do it because I have to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to write songs until I'm dead.
Yeah.
People don't make art because they want to get famous. People make art because they have to, or else they explode on the inside.
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of respect for what you've done. I forgot to mention, this is the first time we've done an interview in a room with a stripper pole. We are in the stripper room at Five Star Bar in Chicago.
And
I
I'm naked.
I completely forgot. That might not be true, but anyway.
He's lying. I'm naked. I'm not touching him, but I'm naked.
This is the Tipsy Talk. This is the end of the show. I cheers
Tipsy
you right
naked
now.
Talk.
I cheers you right now, but our glasses are empty. So, Stewby, thanks so much for being on the show.
Sure.
For those of you listening, we'll catch you guys again next time.
Hey, thanks for listening. That was Lucky Boy's Confusion, obviously, playing throughout the episode. One to the Right, Saturday Night, Do You Miss Me? I think that covers all the songs. But stick around until the very end of this outro for one more tune from Stewby and Lucky Boy's Confusion to take us home. Also on that topic, I've got one quick announcement for you. If you're listening to this episode before Friday, April 27th, 2018, Lucky Boys Confusion is playing at the Metro in Chicago for a rare performance on Friday, April 27th. I believe tickets are still available for that show, but they are probably going to sell out. So head over to Lucky Boys Confusion's website or the Metro website to pick up tickets for that show. If you're listening after that date, cross your fingers. Hopefully you'll be seeing them play again soon. As always, make sure to head over to pubcastworldwide.com for the show notes and to sign up for the monthly bruise letter for lots of pubcast-related deals. And finally, while that's where I usually end the show, for everyone that's made it this far, if you enjoyed the demo that Stubby played for us in the interview, I've got the full version of that song right here for you right now. As you might remember, the song is called It's After Midnight, and again, it's off their latest album, Storm Chasers, which is available wherever you find your music. Keep an eye out for more tunes from Stubby, whether it's from Lucky Boys Confusion or his new band, The Hoodie Life, and in the meantime, stay thirsty and enjoy this track. Cheers!
Please stop giving me, please stop giving the runaround. I'm sick of these rendezvous into the middle ground, into the middle, just come around. I'm sick of these rendezvous, please stop giving. Right when I turned around. Time to go.